Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
Morning team.
Oh, mate, Humongaroso show this morning. We absolutely peaked yesterday for Hump Dizzly Dizzle Day.
Yep.
And now we're on Thirsty Thursday.
I don't think we peaked. I think we've still got more to come. I think we've got the best in us yet.
Well, mate,
to round out the week.
Hump Day's the summit. Like, you're at the peak.
Yes.
And now you're on the slippery, awesome slope down to, well, we're on Thirsty Thursday. We're gonna hit Fabulous Friday in no time.
We're going to get real slippery from here between now and Friday, which is just an all-round good time. Hey, I tell you what, we are on the hunt for today. You can start getting in touch with us if you like. I know people are passionate about this stuff, Ash, when you're talking food, and you are a foodie yourself, but fish and chips, mate. It sounds...
Fish and chops.
It sounds like a simple meal, but it is...
No, mate.
...an institution in this country, fish and
Absolutely.
Chips.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, I have only ever... had two good fish and chips in my life.
Really?
Well, sorry, I should say I only know of two shops that produce excellent fish and chips.
Right.
And one of them's in Melbourne and the other is on the Gold Coast. I have yet to have a good chish and fips on the Senny.
Have you had many, though?
No, I haven't because I'm too scared. Because this is the thing, right, and we'll go into it a little bit later. I only eat fish that's crumbed, deep-fried crumbed.
Okay.
I don't eat battered.
That's interesting.
Mm.
I get the grilled stuff. I just go straight for the grilled stuff.
Oh, no, mate.
That's
if
me
you're
going to
go fish and chips, you just got to go the whole hog, buddy.
That's me trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
And then I smash about
$5
worth of chips as well.
And what about, oh, no, let's do this. Let's talk about this later. Well, I can keep going.
Well, here's the thing, though. Australia is on the hunt for the best fish and chips. There is a couple of shops on the Central Coast who are in the top five already.
Yes.
We've got Kim from Avoca Beach Seafoods who's going to be joining us. They are in the top five. But if you would like to recommend anyone, we want to hear from you, 13, 12, 16, or hit us up on the Facebook page because we're going to try and get this thing to number one in Oz. That's what we're here to do today. Pollard's Picks coming up before 6:30 this morning. It rolls around quick.
Doesn't it, just?
If you'd like to play that, stick around. And we are doing Alpha Bucks next on 13, 12, 16. We're also talking Airbnb disaster stories today, plane encounters, and Matt Graham, the world champion skier, is going to join us after a slope's been named after him. It's a big show.
Harvey Norman, quiet at home in every room of the house. CFM.
Say good morning to Amanda from Killarney Vale. Morning, Amanda.
Amanda.
Morning, Ash.
Oh, goodness. You're sprightly, Dales. And guess what? The letter is A for Amanda.
Oh, this is meant to be.
It is meant to be, I think.
I'm feeling it. I am feeling it. $1,000. We really want you to win. Is A your favourite letter being Amanda?
I guess it has to. I've got three of them in my name, so it has to be.
by default, it is your favourite. And hopefully it works in your favour here. So 30 seconds on the clock. Every answer starts with A. Don't use the same answer twice. Pass if you don't know, because we will come back to it. And looking at the answers here, very winnable is what I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pressure. That's pressure.
Yeah, I don't mean to add a layer of pressure. It's meant to relieve pressure to say that, you know, these are
all right.
Easy
shush,
answers.
Gaunty, say the rules.
You should. I just did the rules. You shush, I did the rules. You do the questions.
Okay. Right,
here we go.
Okay, Amanda, you ready?
I'm ready.
Question number one. Name an insect.
Ant.
A genre of movie.
Pass.
A brand of biscuit.
Arnott.
A month.
August.
A body part.
Arm.
A continent.
Australia.
A girl's name.
Amanda.
An Australian city.
Adelaide.
A style of art. Amanda!
A style of art? What?
Did I not say
smack on the bottom?
Did I not say the answers felt pretty easy? A genre of movie you passed on. We would have taken action movie. And
the one I don't watch, yep.
A style of art, abstract.
Can I say the style of art would have stumped me? Even though I know abstract is a style of art. I still wouldn't have thought of it.
I think of all the questions in there, though, that was the curliest one. The rest were pretty, like, name a body part and arm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty easy stuff. We've got, so, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, $70 alpha bucks. Three off a thousand.
Anyway, thank you so much.
It's bittersweet, isn't it? You get the 70 bucks, but you're three off a thousand. Well played.
101.3 CFM, trending now.
6:15, what's happening, Ash?
Royalists rejoice, and that is moi. If you're an Australian citizen and you just absolutely love the royal family, did you know that you are legally entitled to get your very own portrait of our gracious Queen to hang in your lounge room in all its glory?
Yeah,
Did you know that?
Well, I read this this morning, and it's something about messaging your local MP. Is that true?
Yes, under what's named the Constituents Request Program, voters are eligible to receive nationhood material, which can pertain to Aussie flags, recordings of the national anthem, etc., etc. But it also means you're entitled to your very own portrait of Queen Elizabeth II. And all you have to do to obtain this glorious portrait is to email your local MP.
Are you going to do it?
Mate, you should see the pic. It's sensation.
Are you going to email and try and get one and see what happens? You got it.
Do you know what? I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm such a royalist.
Would you where would you hang it in your house? I've been to your house. You got some nice artwork. It all kind of revolves around food. Where would you slot the Queen?
Probably in the kitchen.
Yeah.
There's a free wall in the kitchen.
There's also a free wall in the dunny if you want to just put her in there, you know.
I'm not going to pop a squat and stare at the Queen in the morning.
Oh, we all do it, mate. We all do it.
CFM, trending now.
Friends actor Matthew Perry was reportedly rushed to hospital for emergency surgery after suffering a ruptured bowel. Now, he has had battles with addiction, this bloke. So whether it's from, you know, that sort of stuff back in the day or, you know, he has an actual serious issue is yet to be known. But the 48-year-old is recovering after undergoing surgery. And he's said to be okay. He just wants to be left in private as he heals.
He certainly battled his demons, hasn't he?
Hasn't he just? His
Big
weight
time.
Has fluctuated like nothing on earth.
Yeah.
He did look quite emaciated during his struggles with addiction, though.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he can...
hopefully he gets through it.
Yeah, gets through this one.
If you love a punt like I love a cold one, well, you'll love Pollard's picks this week for the NFL and for the NRL.
Oh, get fired up, guys.
Yeah, get fired up because you know what?
Yeah.
Melbourne Storm are number two on the ladder.
Yeah, the Storm. And Billy Slater's just announced his retirement too, so...
The Slate Dog.
Yeah, the Slate Doggy Dog is out.
Oh, well, I don't care. Whatevs.
He's on the way out. I thought you'd be a Slater fan. He's from Queensland.
I'm pretending to sound like I'm interested.
Mate, Slater's from Queensland, plays for Melbourne, you know? I thought you'd be all into that kind of stuff.
I didn't even know he played for Melbourne, Kay.
Oh, come on. Billy Slater's one of the greats. Hey, let's go to Blake at Avoca. He thinks he can beat you this week. Morning, Blake.
Blake, hey.
Yeah.
So, what's your knowledge like on the old NRL?
Not too bad.
How do you go? Do you got a work footy tipping comp or anything like that?
Not work, but I'm up against one of the boys and I'm on the NRL app one.
Yeah. And how do you go? You go all right?
Nah.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for calling us.
Look, somebody just wants to absolutely knock me off the throne, and rightfully so, because I know nothing.
You are
yet
killing it.
I am a bloody winner.
All right, well, you only have to win one round here, Blake, to beat Ash. Let's go through these games. Tonight it's Cowboys-Broncos, Battle of Queensland, guys.
I'll go the Bronc, thanks.
Yep.
Broncos.
Blake's going to the Broncos as well. Friday night, Warriors Knights. Looks like it's in New Zealand, this one. So New Zealand v.
So
Newcastle.
I'm going to go the Warriors, thank you.
Yep.
Oh, I'll go something different. I'll go the Knights.
Hey. Knights fans will be happy to hear that. Also, tomorrow night, Rabbitohs Roosters.
Oh, man, this one's a hard one. Do you want to go first, Blake?
Yeah, I'll go the Roosters.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm going to go the Rabbitohs.
Okay. Hang on a sec.
Oh, the Titans and the Panthers.
Yep, I just had to get that one down. Titans, Panthers, Saturday afternoon.
Who we Where's Seabus Stadium? That's the Gold Coast,
isn't
it?
That's the Goldie, yep.
Oh, shivers. I'll go the Tight then.
Yep. All right.
I'll go Panthers.
Panthers for Blake. Four games left to go. Manly Bulldogs on Saturday, 5:30.
Oh. Sea Eagles.
Yep.
Yeah, Sea Eagles.
Okay. Eels, Dragons on
Dragons.
Saturday night. You hate the Eels, so there you go.
I don't know why. I just
slippery.
I don't like slippery things.
Yeah, I'll go Dragons as well.
Dragons as well. Two games left. Who's your team, Blake?
Roosters.
The Roosters. Oh, that's
the
why
Rooter.
That's the first time you've gone against them, I think, Ash, picking the Rabbitohs on Friday night. Anyway.
I know.
Sunday, let's go Sunday. Raiders, Canberra Raiders versus West Tigers.
What stadium is this?
This is in Canberra.
Well, but the Canberra Raiders?
Yeah, Canberra Raiders.
Oh.
I know, it's Canberra Raiders, right? Yeah.
I don't know, you tell me.
Yeah.
Blake?
Oh, I'll go Tigers.
Yeah, go Tigers.
Yeah, but no, I'll go the Raiders.
Go the Raiders?
Yeah.
And Sunday, Storm Sharks.
Oh, don't ask me.
Yeah, your Storm.
Well, I'll go the Sharks.
Go the Sharks.
Well, we are divided, you and me, Blake. This will be a good one.
You really had me questioning myself whether Canberra were the Raiders, but they definitely are.
Yeah.
they're Canberra.
I don't know. Ash just threw it back at me and I was like, man, she must know what she's talking about.
Yeah. I accidentally do know what I'm talking about now. You know when you're just thrown into something, you just got to be an absolute unit, eh?
Yeah, just own it.
That's me right now.
I'll tell you what, West Tigers playing in Canberra, that's going to be cold on Sunday. Oh, Canberra's a... Ugh. You ever been to Canberra, Ash?
Yeah.
Oh, mate. You been to Canberra, Blake?
Yeah, once, not going back.
Yeah, not going back.
Do you know what, though? It's up and coming. Some decent restaurants happening now.
It is true for the food scene. Hey, just quickly, Blake, before we let you go, because I see you live in Avoca there, have you tried the seafood... We're getting Kim on from Avoca Beach Seafoods for their best fish and chips in Australia. Have you been?
Nah, I haven't.
Oh, mate, top five in Australia, they're saying.
Mate, go there for dinner and give us a buzz tomorrow. Let us know.
No worries.
Kim's going to join us from the shop after 7 o'clock this morning. They are going for the best in Australia, and we want to try and help get them to number one.
Let's go. Head up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Thursday morning, just gone 6:34. Next on the show, the movie bio guessing game, if you would like to play. So normally I run this thing and we get someone to call the show, 13, 12, 16, which you can do right now. But you've decided...
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
This time.
I like it.
So I've chosen three movies.
Yep.
Three movies that I like, actually. And we'll see if you can guess them.
All right, this is interesting because I've always kind of hosted the game. I've always wanted to play the game, but being on the other end of it, I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
So, I tell you what, we do have, you can pick between the two movies from what I can see here. Mission Impossible Fallout, tickets to that. Or you might want to go see The Spy Who Dumped Me if you're more into the funny stuff. So tickets to the movies if you can beat me this morning.
Once upon a time, at a radio station far, far away, there was a radio game that changed the radio landscape forever. This was not that game. It's Gordy and Ash Pollard's Movie Bio Guessing Game.
The hosting role has been hijacked by Ash Pollard.
Yes, it has. And I have three marvellous movies for you this morning. Who is your contender, Daniel Gaunt?
I've always wanted to play this game. We've got Matt at Chitterway. Morning, Matty.
How you going, guys?
We're great, mate. You know your movies?
I'd like to say I do.
Okay. And you're keen to get Mission Impossible tickets?
Yes, I would love to go see it.
All right, best of three if you can beat me. Tickets are yours, man. Ash has the first movie. Just quickly with the rules, if you buzz in and you have a guess and it's wrong, the other person gets a free guess. And then we continue on with the movie if we can't get it. That's it.
No worries.
That's the only rule. Buzz in with your name. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Princess of the Amazons trained to be an unconquerable warrior.
Matt.
Oh,
yes?
Matt.
Wonder Woman?
Correct!
What? first sentence, Maddie.
How good is that?
Nice. I love my movies.
He loves his movies.
All right.
I like that we found a master on the day that I play. We found someone really good at this game. All right, movie two.
Here we go. A 60s spy who is cryogenically...
Gordy.
Yep.
Oh, Frozen. Austin Powers?
Correct.
Oh, boom.
Have I chosen two easy ones?
Maybe. Hey, was he frozen in that movie? I couldn't remember.
Cryogenically frozen, and then he woke up.
That's
remember?
Right. Wasn't it? They were great.
He lost his mojo.
He lost his mojo.
He had to go and get it.
Anyone want to do any Austin Powers impersonations? Maddie?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, you both. You've both gone for the yeah, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, listen.
For the win.
Okay, this one might be a little bit harder. A hard-nosed mother is seeking justice for her murder.
Gordy. Erin Brockovich?
No.
You get a free guess. No, he gets a free guess. Yeah, Matt, you get a free guess. Unless you don't know, you can pass.
Oh, I have no idea from that.
All right, we continue on. Go for it, Ash.
Is seeking justice for her murdered daughter. With no arrests after 7 months, excuse me, the mother puts up 3 roadside signs to goad Ebbing police chief into action. But the law, and especially Sam Rockwell's hot-headed deputy, don't take kindly to the provocation. And the townsfolk are on their side. But the mother doesn't care about ruffling a few feathers. In fact, she's happy to pluck the whole bird.
I still think Erin Brockovich.
No idea.
I gave it away.
In which part?
Practically the whole bloody thing. Listen.
You know it because it's a movie you like.
No.
All right.
It's in Ebbing. Where is Ebbing?
Don't know.
It's a town in Missouri.
Gordy.
Mm-hmm.
A town called Missouri?
No. She put up 3 roadside signs.
Gordy, that billboards movie.
Say the title, mate.
Three billboards outside Missouri.
Ebbing, Missouri.
Is it? So what is it? Three billboards?
3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, I didn't know the Ebbing part, but do I win?
Nah.
What?
Terrible movie.
Gordy.
Yeah, no, it was good.
3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. No. I buzzed in before he did.
Nah.
Oh. Have you seen that, Maddie?
No, I haven't, but I think I win because you have too many guesses.
Yeah, Maddie wins for sure.
I make the rules here, guys.
No, I'm the one leading this comp. You give the tickets to him, thank you.
Okay, here's what we'll say. I win, but Matt gets the tickets.
No, you don't. I practically gave you that.
Matty's happy with that. All right, Mission Impossible tickets yours, man. You are good at the game, I've got to say. Well played.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Call back for that anytime. Best intentions often come back to haunt you. Mission Impossible Fallout in cinemas now.
Was that too easy?
Listening to us for the tickets. No, well, it's the thing. I mean, if you know the movie, it's easy, but if you don't... No, I don't think it was too easy. I think it was good. The billboards one's tough, though. That's a pretty new movie, isn't it?
Oh, it's like early this year, isn't it?
That's pretty new.
Mate, it's so easy. I was like, Ebbing, and then I said 3 signs.
Easy because you've seen it, mate. Maddie and I, we haven't seen it yet.
You do ones for me that I haven't seen.
Yeah, that's true.
Get up with Gordy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
Speaking of stealing.
Well, yeah. Didn't know, well, Jamie and I, we went to Kmart and we got some... exercise clothes there because they're quite cheap at Kmart. So you just get some stuff to work out in. And Jamie bought this Everlast jumper and she got to the gym and realised that that little security tag was still on. You know that little tag that sort of...
That is so frustrating.
Isn't that annoying?
How come you didn't know when you walked down and it beeped?
Didn't beep. Don't know, just didn't beep. And we got to the gym and Jamie felt this thing and she goes, oh, what's this thing? And she goes, oh, it's one of those tags. Anyway, she says, oh, I'm going to have to take it back to Kmart. And I'd thrown out the receipt, so we didn't have a receipt. And I said, how are you going to return? And it was an Everlast jumper. So it was this Everlast jumper. I said, how are you going to return this jumper without a receipt, without them thinking that you've stolen them? So they're going to think that you've stolen this jumper.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I've got to take it back. I can't wear it with this tag. It's annoying. And she paid for it. So we go back to Kmart, and I didn't know, Ash, how into it their security people are. You know the people on the front that check the bags?
Yes.
Oh, when they get a whiff of someone potentially stealing, they turn into the LAPD.
Yeah.
So we rock up to the front with the jumper. Jamie doesn't have the receipt and she goes, oh, I've got this Everlast jumper. It's got the little tag on it. She goes, you got the receipt? Jamie goes, no, I don't have the receipt. I can't find it. No, I can't let you in with that. No way. How do we know that you haven't stole that?
Is that true?
Yeah, and kind of made us feel like we had stolen this jumper. And poor Jamie's gone bright red because all she's trying to do is get the tag off this jumper that she's paid for. Anyway, this lady gets on the two-way radio and she's like, got this girl at the front. She's got an Everlast jumper, still got the tag. No receipt. And really emphasising the no receipt as if to suggest that Jamie's flogged this Everlast jumper.
Well, here's the thing. This woman's probably just doing her job, right?
I know.
Like, that's her job.
I know it's the job.
I mean...
But you know when you get really kind of, you get a little bit of authority and you really
take
it...
Yeah, she probably could have just been a little bit more chill.
To the next level, because this was like full...
Like, what are we talking? Like, that Everlast jump is probably like $5 or something,
it's
right?
It's like $10.
Okay.
It's nothing.
Point in case. The jumper costs nothing.
Yeah.
It's not like, even if Jamie was... stealing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's $1 billion.
Well, that's what I said. I said, if we're going to steal anything, it's not a $10 Poxy Everlast jumper, is
Precisely.
It?
Precisely.
But by the sound of things, they get a few of them stolen. And, you know, it doesn't...
there would be some absolute crackers.
It doesn't sound too promising when you've got a chick out front with an Everlast jumper with the tag still on the front. And she's making... And people are standing around too. They're waiting to get their bags checked and everyone's looking at us like we flogged this Everlast jumper.
Hey, you weren't around the supermarket where all our signs are, were you? People will be like, oh, there's that Gaundy. He's a thief.
Is that Gaundy from the Gaundy and Ash show? Look at him steal that $10 Everlast jumper. No, but in saying that, Ash, I almost got hit by a bus yesterday.
What?
With our faces on it.
Yes!
True story. I went to turn and this bus come flying around the corner, nearly crashed into my car. And I went, oh man, that was close. And I looked up and there's a picture of you and me.
There's me giving you a shivers eating grin.
Yeah, as you do every single morning. But could you imagine if we did crash into that bus and I had to get out of the car and the bus driver gets out and goes, mate, what
are
you doing?
Story.
I kind of wish I did crash just for the sake of the story.
Content.
Yeah, it would have been great. I should have rammed straight into that bus.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
So there's a nationwide hunt for the best fish and chips in Australia, already named the top five in New South Wales, and Avoca Beach Seafoods comes in the top five in New South Wales.
Interesting, interesting.
What do we have to do to get it to number one? That is the question. Rachel is going to join us from Avoca Beach Seafoods very soon.
First and foremost, you know, you and me have to go and taste these.
For sure. Well, when we did that sausage roll thing around the coast and we went around and tried them all, we need to do that the same just with fish and chips.
Well, duh.
You know.
That's a work expense.
Anything we can get for free food, we will do. But that doesn't mean you can't still nominate your fish and chip shop. If you go mad for it, get in touch with us, 13 12 16, or hit us up on the Facebook page. That's a bit of Aussie pride right there, Ash. If you get number one in Australia, that is huge. That's the best in Oz. That's good. Happy with that. Hey,
I'd be interested to see if the coast does crumb deep fried.
Well, hey, if you know of anywhere that does crumbed, get in touch. 13, 12, 16. Pollard will be there. Mm. Nominate your local.
101.3 CFM. Goopla.
Dean right. McCarthals.
Morning, Dean.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, guys.
Got an update on Pink for us. She's rescheduled some shows.
Yes, she has. She's cancelled her fourth show in Australia and she's said to fans, thank you for your patience. The promoter Live Nation and Pink have admitted that she's still suffering from dehydration. She's been discharged, but the Tuesday night show was cancelled, obviously. And, of course, Thursday's concert will be cancelled as well. She'll be back on Saturday. Until then, she says she'll be drinking green tea and spending time with her kids. So, sending her some good vibes. It's been rough for her. So, let's hope she gets well in no time.
It has. And reading those comments too when there's a cancellation and people getting frustrated. I mean, I understand there's people have booked hotel rooms and transport and all that stuff. It would be frustrating, but they just go to town on some of them.
People are the comments so mean are harsh. Online.
Yeah. Hey, take us back a decade now to Brad Pitt and Jennifer what? Aniston even. You've gone back even further.
What?
What's going on?
No, you must have misread that. We're talking about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Right.
But, yeah, here's the goss. Okay, so as you know, 2 years ago they broke up and we were all shooken to our core. Now, the update is this, which is so fascinating. I found all this out today. Basically, Brad Pitt was supposed to be paying Angelina Jolie a type of child support over the last 2 years, right? It was an unofficial, kind of like handshake agreement. She came out this week saying that he has not been paying her child support and she wants to rush along the divorce and get it finalized by the end of the year because they're taking their sweet time. She fired her lawyers, brought on two new lawyers, and today Brad Pitt filed a new file in court alleging that he's already given her $8 million.
Didn't he show the receipt?
Yeah, literally like receipts basically saying he has allegedly lent her $8 million American dollars, US dollars, to buy a house. I wouldn't have thought she needed a loan for anything. But it's pretty ugly, getting uglier, and I do hope that they sort it out pretty quick.
I do have to apologise. My mistake, Dean, comes from, I've got a magazine here in front of me that says that Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt are getting back together.
No.
Oh my God, mate, honestly, that stupid line has been going around for the last 20 years. Chuck it in the bin.
It's never ever
going
to happen.
Who even cares?
That has sold magazines for two decades.
Hasn't
that
those, it? Jesus.
That those two are getting back together.
I've thought of you.
Hey, but if it happened, guys, if it happened, if they got back together, would we be excited? Dean?
No.
Dean?
I'm here for it.
Dean?
I'm here for it.
He's there. I knew he'd be there for it.
Dean, get your core and shake it.
Ash, they're meant to be together, Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. They just don't know it. They do. One of those... love story.
To my core.
On your day, and chat tomorrow, mate.
Bye-bye. Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is an award show that I'm into, Ash Pollard. I don't know how we get a ticket to the Australian Fish and Chip Awards, but we need to get ourselves there. And we are in the running to find the best fish and chips in Australia, but a Central Coast store is currently nominated. So just to give you a little bit of background, voting for the Australian Fish and Chip Awards 2018 began on August 1st. There's over 2,000 stores around Australia. They're all gunning to be the best in Oz. They've announced a top five for New South Wales, and sitting on top of that New South Wales list, Ash, is the Avoca Beach Seafoods.
Now...
yeah.
Do we have the owner of the Avoca Beach Seafood?
We surely do. Rach joins us right now. Morning, Rach.
Good morning, guys.
Woo! Rach, now, I know you guys are sitting up top, but I'm going to be the judge of that.
Okay.
Answer me this one question.
Yep.
Do you crumb fish, deep fry crumb?
Absolutely do.
Yeah!
Oh, absolutely. And that's what puts them at the... best in New South Wales.
Boomtown. Can I tell you something for nothing? All of the fish and chipperies in Victoria don't crumb and deep fry. They just batter. But there's I know, it's a bloody travesty. There's only one joint in Victoria that does it. And I'm totally obbed with them because they do panko breadcrumb on it too.
I live for Ash's enthusiasm when it comes to food and
chish
fish.
Yeah,
fish and chips. Hey, Rach, can you tell us, rather than just Ash rattling off what she thinks makes number one, what do you think makes you the number one fish and chip shop in Australia?
Well, I think it comes down to we have a really amazing bunch of staff at our shop and they share the same passion that we do for consistency and quality of food that we serve.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of our stuff is made in-house, like a lot of our batters, mixers, sauces, a lot of those things are made by us and they make a massive difference.
You actually won CFM's Best Fish and Chips on the Coast last time we ran that competition and we are going to be running that again, Best of the Coast.
How exciting.
You were voted by people on the coast as the best fish and chip shop on the Central Coast. Do you think you've got what it takes to be the best in Oz? Can we get excited about you guys being voted number one at these awards?
Well, I hope so. I guess it's up to the voters to vote for it. But, you know, I'm a big believer in if you just put your best foot forward and try hard every day, then we'll just see what happens.
Oh,
okay, couple of questions here before I come and visit.
Yeah.
Do you offer chicken salt?
We do.
Of course.
Okay. Excuse me. Shut up, Gaundy. Do you offer pickled onions?
No.
Mm. Okay. Well, you might have to offer pickled onions when I rock up.
Okay.
Okay.
What about potato cakes?
Potato scallops, we make them in-house.
Oh, yes.
Peel them, batter them, make them.
Dimmies? What about a dimmy?
Dim sim?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, shivers.
Do you have a red carpet for Ash Pollard to walk on?
We do, and it leads straight down to the beach.
Oh, yes. Love it.
You've got me, girl.
All right. This is what we need. We need it. If you're listening right now and you've got a bit of Central Coast pride and you want to just say that we have the best fish and chip shop in Australia, you need to vote for the Avoca Beach Seafoods at the Fish and Chip Awards. Now, are you encouraging people to do it? So the website is fishandchipsawards.com.au/state-territory. Just Google it. Look it up, throw a vote in. Are you campaigning in any way, Rach? What are you doing to get this number one?
We are. We have a link on our Facebook and Instagram page. And, you know, we talk to customers when they come back and just let them know what's happening and if they'd like to vote and how to do it.
I'm so hungry for it already.
Exciting stuff.
I'm just gagging.
Rach, we wish you all the best. We're going to follow this story and take it out, number one.
Hey, Rach, you'll be down there soon.
Okay, look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Ash has just jumped onto the Fish and Chip Awards website to throw some votes in.
I have.
if you would like to vote, though, because it is the Australian Fish and Chips Awards 2018 gala event, you can log on to fishandchipsawards.com.au and follow the prompts. Now, we did just have Rachel on from Avoca Beach Seafoods.
Mm-hmm.
Rach, if you're listening, I'm going to be there in the next couple of days trying out some of that delicious fish and chips. But, Ash,
how's that F45 challenge going?
It's going, mate. Don't worry. Mm. It's fish and chips are on the menu at some point. I'll squeeze them in there. There is a couple that we haven't mentioned that also have made the top 30, which could go with some votes as well. Long Jetty Takeaway. That's in there. So Long Jetty Takeaway, if you want to throw a vote in for those guys. They're in the top 30 fish and chips in New South Wales. And Terrigal Beach Fish and Chip Co.
Oh, that's the one on the corner as you drive into Tezza.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay, because there's a few along there. So that's another one. Mum's Fish and Chips is the one I go to at on the peninsula in West Street there. So get on, throw some votes in, and let's see if we can get the Central Coast up there in that top 10. Next on the show, Airbnb disaster stories. We've put the call out there this morning. If you've got one you'd like to share, maybe you're involved in one or you run an Airbnb, we want to hear from you on 13, 12, 16.
There are some shockers going around.
There is, which you've been involved in, Ash. Have you not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of stories to tell for sure because I used to Airbnb my house out in Melbourne.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
Maybe you've got an Airbnb disaster story.
Yeah, well, there are a few going around on the internet at the moment. One that piqued my interest was a bloke Airbnb'd his house out in the States and four people had booked in to stay. And 25 people showed up. And the reason why this guy knew was because he had CCTV camera outside of his front door. So every time somebody rocked up, his phone would buzz and he'd be alerted to a new guest. Anyway, the bloke's girlfriend was live tweeting the whole experience. The guests wouldn't leave. They claimed to be a religious group having Bible study. Yeah, how's that, right?
Mixed in with some drinks.
Precisely. Anyway, so the homeowner called the bloke and was like, look, mate, you need to get rid of your people and they need to go now. And he's like, okay, yep, done. So the owner checked back in 5 minutes later on the CCTV. No, not done. They were stealing pillows from the beds, things from the bathrooms, taking it down to the cars. And anyway, it was an absolute schmozzle. Finally, Airbnb get onto it and sort the situation out. But there are some seriously foul stories going around on the internet. But one that I wanted to share with you, which was a personal story of a friend who Airbnbs his apartment out on the Gold Coast, came across something really foul over the weekend. And he told me that when he went back into the house, he found a banana in the fridge, right? An unopened banana in the fridge with an open latex.
Ah, right.
You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. Yep. How weird. How bizarre.
Yes. And I Airbnb'd my house out in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I had these people staying from Korea. And they'd never used a shower that had like a removable shower head.
Yeah.
So they'd crank the thing on and the shower head had a mind of its own, so it would spray all over my bathroom. And they flooded my bathroom and it leaked all down my hallway, which was wooden. So I had to get the bloke in to come and fix the wood because it had been waterlogged.
Haven't you just asked where you're staying in Matcham if you can Airbnb that house?
Oh, come on, mate.
Like, I mean, how often do these things happen?
Like, hardly ever.
So these are pretty rare stories. Because it's all based on a review system, right?
Yeah,
so
if it's you get all bad based reviews, on a review gone. System, right? Yeah. And if you're hiring out a place, okay, like, fair, the people that I had just, you know, were foreign. They didn't really know what was going on. So my place was never mistreated. I never had any yucky stories to tell. And also, you can really find out whether your host or whether your guest is, you know, a subpar individual. You kind of know going into it who you're dealing with. And also, you can tick. You have sections where you can tick the verification of the person. So I wouldn't let anybody stay at my place unless they had government identification.
Ah, okay. Well, that checks out. I'm still stuck on the banana in the fridge with the latex. I mean, that is disgusting.
You know what the latex is, right?
I know what the latex is, mate, but that is disgusting. I mean, who puts a banana in the fridge?
You idiots!
Let's go. Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.
Alpha Bucks is next. 13, 12, 16. I'm just going to give the letter out now.
What is it?
It's the letter D. Mm. Think of as many D words.
D for dick. As in Richard.
Save that. saved it. Producer G and I looked at each other like, Ash has gone rogue again, guys. letter D is your letter for Alpha Bucks, yeah.
Yeah, my brother's name's Richard and we often call him Dick. So.
It's
legit.
Your facts check out, Ash. Well done.
Harvey Norman, quiet at home in every room of the house. CFM.
Just creating thousandaires all over the coast with Alpha Bucks.
I love a thousandaire.
Kev's at Hamlin Terrace this morning trying to get his hands on a grand. Morning, Kev.
Gordy, Ash, how are you guys?
Great, mate. Thanks so much. Did you cop that letter before?
Yeah, sure did.
All right.
What is it?
D for dog.
You sure it's D for dog, mate?
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, good.
Kev's trying to get his hands on some cold hard cash, FM radio style. 30 seconds on the clock, the letter D. Dog, I will say,
is
one of the answers coming up. So
perfect.
Have a think about that. Good luck, mate. We want another thousandaire on the show. We've got this. Let's do it.
Okay. Thanks, question number one. Name a flower.
Daffodil.
Something you can roll.
Dog.
Something you find in a theatre. A language.
Dutch.
A musician.
Dave Grohl.
A brand of shoe.
Doc Martin.
An animal.
Dinosaur.
Something you do on the weekend.
Drive.
A male actor.
Dave Piccioni.
Is that even someone?
David Duchovny. What's his name? The one from X-Files.
Duchovny.
Yeah, that's it. I like that, mate. I'm giving you that. I don't care what Ash says. He's getting David Duchovny, whatever he said at the time. That's a ripper. Played a good game. Have to say.
80 bucks.
Game. 80 bucks. Two off.
Close.
1,000. The one that stumped you, though, you passed on, was something you find at a theatre. We had dress. That's a tough one, isn't it?
I would have said, like, a dead fly or something.
Yeah, that was tough.
We had here dressing room director or door. A theatre door.
Nice.
And the one you didn't get to was name something you buy from a bakery. What would you have said there?
A donut.
Nice.
Oh, I feel like you would have got it.
Oh, well. 80 bucks. Always next time.
80 bucks, big care. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks very much, guys.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM. Caught a plane last night, mate. I am in Melbourne right now because I'm here for a charity event. I'm here for the...
it's their telethon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the My Room telethon on Channel 9 tonight.
So it's got like Hughesy doing it and that kind of...
Yeah, just a bunch of Aussie celebs that get in and help raise some money for children with cancer. So I'm a part of that this evening on the Footy Show, which is really fun, 8:30.
Which is great. And you said that people call up and go, who are you? And you go, I'm Ash Pollard. They go, I wanted
and
to...
And they're like, nah, I want to talk to Hughesy.
Where's Hughesy?
Yeah.
I want to chat to Hughesy.
Righto.
Anyway, it's a good one.
Oh, you're that girl off the cooking show. Yes, mate. Oh, well, put me on to Hughesy. No, mate, that's not how it works.
He's busy.
Would you like to donate some money?
Hey, well, it's great work that you guys do, raising money for kids.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Anyway, it's great. But that gets me talking about my adventure on the aeroplane yesterday. So I actually missed my flight, not going to lie. Missed my flight.
Classic Pollard.
Standard Pollard.
Classic. That is you to a T.
I've never been like that, but in the last year, I can't tell you how many flights I've missed.
You missed your flight from Paris home.
I know.
And that's a big one to miss. I mean, so Sydney to Melbourne, nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Anyway, but you missed it.
Anyway,
and you get
I missed the flight, so I get on the next one at 4 p.m. and I'm the last to get on. And I've got my hand luggage with me, my little mini roller cabin luggage suitcase. And all of the overhead lockers are absolutely chock-a-block. There's no room for mine. And I'm at the front of the aircraft, so I don't want to go all the way to the back and dump it there because that means I'm going to be the last person to get off anyway. So I've got to go and wait. So I get to my seat and this lovely bloke says, oh, do you want me to help you put this suitcase up? And I was like, yes, please. So he tries to shuffle around a few bits and pieces and he was sitting in the middle seat and there's just absolutely no room to put it anywhere. So I said, look, do you mind moving to the aisle and I'll sit in the middle and just put my suitcase under the chair in front of me? And he obliged. So
that was nice. That's
that was
nice.
Very nice of him. I was like, oh, yeah, you're a nice guy.
Yeah, we don't have to do that.
No, they don't. Mm. They actually don't. So that was a nice deed, first and foremost. And then we get talking. So we're besties already. Like in the first 10 minutes, we're besties. We're sharing life hacks. Like, how do you stop your fingers from smelling after you've crushed, chopped up garlic with them? And how do you break a corn cob in half the easiest way?
Was he enjoying this conversation or are you that annoying?
Are you that annoying
person on the flight that won't shut up?
No, he started it.
He was loving it? Oh, he started it, okay.
Yes. Yeah, he semi-started it. And so I was like, righto, I'm onto the bandwagon, let's talk.
Yeah.
We talked for the whole 3 hours because even in the middle of the flight, I said to him, so where are you off to? And he said, I'm off to Kew for dinner.
Yeah.
I said, well, I live in Kew, that's where I'm going. How are you getting there? And he said, I've got a hire car, do you want a lift? And I was like, yep.
Wow, perfect.
So we fist pumped on that one. We did a fist pump.
Bros.
Yep. And then I asked him what his middle name was, what his parents do.
Is he single?
Well, I sort of didn't ask, but I got the sort of
The only reason I ask is because, look, I know because you love Pete, you love long-distance boyfriend Pete, no, nothing wrong with that, but as a bloke, right, as a guy, if I'm sitting on the plane and, you know, a lady's starting to talk to me and she's taking some interest and...
Serendipity is what it was.
It was
very serendipitous.
It's leading to something, you know what I mean? Maybe he's thinking it's leading to something. So what happens when you got to queue? What happens when you got out of the lift?
What lift?
When he gave you a lift.
Oh, the ride.
Yeah, the ride. What happens when you get... Did he lean in for the kiss?
No! What the hell?
Well, I don't
know. He's an absolute gentleman.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman. But you know what it was? It was one of those, like, serendipitous sliding doors sort of situations where it's like, oh, shivers, I don't know how to think about this. Like, I don't know how to take this.
You're like,
it's very kind of...
Maybe that's my soulmate, not Pete. Who knows? Look, 13, 12, 16, we want to put it out there. Interesting meet. It doesn't have to be a celebrity or anyone, but interesting.
I was enthralled by this guy.
Well, it's one of those
things. And do you know what? Oh, my God, wait a second.
Yeah.
He had a little lisp, and you know what I feel about lisps.
You love a little lisp.
I love a lisp.
Okay.
And he was old, too. You know I love the old ones.
Okay.
And he had a hairy chest.
So you like old dudes with lisps. That's a good
older,
combo.
I should say older.
All right, well, 13, 12, 16 doesn't have
and
to be...
And he worked in food industry.
Should I attempt the number again, or are you just going to jump in? 13, 12, 16, interesting people you've met on a flight, because a lot of the time you just don't talk to anyone. What's your policy on that? Do you just shut down and don't talk? Or have you chat to someone and you really made something of it? We've got these tickets to the Weber Circus family passes for your calls this morning. I'll tell you next about a dude that I met on a plane and I stayed at his house.
Oh, that's fully weird, dude. That's not...
That night.
Nah. What?
More on that next.
Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Talking interesting people you've met on planes. And I did mention before we went to a break that I jumped on a plane. I had some accommodation staying in Perth where I'm from. And then as I was getting on the plane, Ash, my accommodation fell through. So I had nowhere to stay. My mate said, you can't stay here anymore. My sister's here now. So I'm flying to Perth with nowhere to stay.
What a dog move by that bloke.
It was pretty sus. And anyway, I'm sitting next to this dude who I get chatting to on the plane. And we're just, you know, the boys just having a laugh and a chat.
Mm.
And I told him my story. He goes, oh, mate, if this isn't too weird, I'll get a spare room at my house. You're more than welcome to stay tonight.
And was the place an absolute hellhole?
Nah, it was really nice by the beach.
Oh, that's so nice of him.
And I said, that'd be great, mate.
Fully suspect. That's when you know you're desperate.
Well, I went back to his house and I was laying in the bed in the spare room thinking, this is bizarre. And then when I got up in the morning, he'd gone to work and it was just me in his house.
Oh.
So I cleaned the whole thing out. DVD player, right. TV gone when he got home that day.
You're an idiot, whatever.
Hey.
Anyway, look, if you've just tuned in, we are talking about random people that you've met on the aeroplane, because last night I flew to Melbourne and I met someone. I met Richie.
Yes, Richie.
On my flight, my Virgin flight from Sydney to Melbourne. He initially tried to help me with my suitcase that wouldn't fit in the overhead locker, and then we shared many, many hot tips in life.
You hit it off. Life. He even offered you a lift back to where you were staying in Melbourne, which you took up. And I said, we're going to get this guy on the show, because it's interesting. You told him to listen to the show, which he was. And I said, let's get him on. And the man himself joins us right now, Richie. Hello, mate.
G'day, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
I'll tell you what, I've never been described as an old bloke with a lisp and a hairy chest. Good on your ass.
Richie.
But I said, hold on, in my defence, I said it was delicious.
Richie, how weird that you were just on a flight, minding your own business, and now you're on the radio trying to explain your actions from yesterday afternoon.
Listen, I wasn't meant to be on the flight too. I was meant to be on, like, the 10 p.m. flight out of Sydney, and I finished work early, so I wasn't even meant to be on that flight either, which was super weird. And then I got stuck, like, I'm not a small bloke, and I got stuck right this middle of this bloody guy on the left and then old mate on the right. It was just a nightmare. So,
Do you think, Ash has been saying serendipity this morning, like it was meant to be that you guys were meant to be sitting next to each other. Do you feel the same way, like you guys could go on to be lifelong friends off the back of one flight?
I know, it was weird. Listen, it was possibly the most entertaining flight I've had. just talk absolute rubbish for 3 hours. It was all right. So, that's strange how those things work, right?
Yeah, it's meant to be.
I'll tell you what I did notice, though. Like, I might not have said anything to her other than, you know, just help you get the bags in the overhead locker until I saw the size of the seat. She's got size 2 feet. How does she stay upright?
I've never really noticed how tiny your feet are, Ash. You got small feet.
The strangest thing you'll ever see.
Oh, you got little kids' feet. You actually do, Ash. Yeah. I've never noticed that, little tiny kids' feet.
Apart from the fact that you did ask me if I'd like any help with my suitcase, you then went on to say, have a look at your feet, would you?
Hey, can we ask, Richie, can I ask, actually, did you know who Ash was when she sat
down? No idea. No idea?
You didn't know she was on TV, radio, that kind of stuff?
No, she had to listen to me ask stupid questions about it. And then when she's like, I've done this and this, I was like, oh, okay, right.
Okay.
One of those blokes.
So how... How soon into the conversation did she drop, I do a bit of radio and TV stuff?
Nothing. It wasn't until sort of 30 minutes in the car ride. So it was 2.5 hours later, I think.
See, because I got, I was like, oh, he's asking these questions. And I've just, it gets too annoying when you try to deflect and go around it. So you got to be like, oh, okay.
Fine.
Hey, look, you guys could almost do a radio show together. You're bouncing off each other that well. I could pretty much
sit down. He's got a good voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, he goes all right for himself, Richie.
Except the lisp, eh?
Yes.
Hold on. Oh, shut up, would you?
Come on, mate. Do I have a lisp?
You've got...
I can say lisp.
I can't.
No, no, it's not like a lisp. It's like the placement of your tongue in the front plate. You guys, listen to you.
I feel like it needs to be Gaundy, Ash and Richie. I feel like we found a third co-host for the radio show.
Well, he's over his job, so maybe that's the next best thing for you, Richie.
He gets a flight. Next thing he knows, he finds himself in a radio job right here with us. Richie, before we let you go.
And then I get a text. I'm in the middle of a meeting. I get a text. Can you come out so I can give you a call? So I have to wind up a meeting super quick.
Yes!
And now they all know you hate your job off the back of Ash. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks.
Ash. Richie, before we let you go, is this the last time you guys will chat, or are you guys going to continue your flight relationship on?
I don't hope so.
Yeah. This is not the last time.
Oh, mate. You're going to get pestered from Ash, I can just say it now. Non-stop. All right, good on you, man. Thanks for jumping on air with us.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call.
There you go.
Thanks, Richie.
Richie, who you met on a plane. Now, we do have more calls coming through of people that have met cool people on flights. We've got to take them after 8:30.
Yep.
Apparently, there are some absolute rippers.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
Just after 8:30 for your Thursday morning, Matt Graham, local Central Coast guy, champion skier. He's going to join us before 9 o'clock this morning. He's had a slope named after him. It's pretty cool. We were just talking about flights that you've caught, though, and interesting people that you've sat next to. And we've had people call the show on 13, 12, 16. Apparently, these are rippers. Let's just quickly take them here. So, Jess is at King Cumber this morning. Morning, Jess.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great, mate. Who did you end up sitting next to on a flight?
So, I was flying to Vegas to meet up with my girlfriend. They'd been there for a while. And I sat next to this guy called Jason. So we're just chatting, getting to know each other, and it actually turns out that he owns a couple of clubs in Vegas.
Oh, nothing better than that.
So my girls had already been there for like 2 months, I think. I could only get 2 weeks off from work. And so we're talking, we're just getting to know each other, you know, like I can't sleep on any flight really. And so we get to Vegas finally, and he gives me his card. He's like, give me a call if you want me to hook you up. I was like, yeah, sweet, bang.
How good.
So I go meet up with my girlfriends. We're staying at the MGM, and I give him a call that night. And it turned out he actually owns, like, Teo Nightclub. He owns Lavo, I think it is, and Marquee.
And have you kept in contact with him since you left Vegas, or was that just kind of... You know,
that's done.
Yeah, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Just, that was just hook up.
Oh, that's sick.
We got to go to Taya Nightclub, and we ended up in this VIP booth upstairs. There's NBA players. It's insane bottle service, like top shelf. And
amazing.
Then you can't walk in.
Imagine all the people that you've sat next to that you've not spoken to because you can't be bothered on a flight. And
there's some seriously interesting people out there. You know Tim Robards?
Yeah.
The First Bachelor.
Yeah.
He does this thing where he gets on the aircraft and he takes a picture of the person he's sitting next to and then writes a full bio, gets to know them, writes a full bio and posts it on Instagram.
What if you don't want that? And Tim's like, come on. And you're like, no, I just want to get
a flight. Obviously he respects that person's privacy.
He's like, I was on The Bachelor. Come on, let's do this.
Oh.
Let's go. Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard. CFM.
Local lad Matt Graham from Narara. He's going to join us next. He picked up the silver medal at the 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympics.
Pyeongchang.
Should have won gold, but that's a massive achievement here in Australia. And he's going to join us on the show next because they've announced that in honour of Matty, they're renaming a slope at Perisher after him, which is huge.
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
They seem to be doing this a lot.
With who else?
Well, do you know Jane Bunn?
No, never heard of Jane.
The
what
weather
is she
girl?
No. What does she do?
I swear they've just named a run after her, a bun run.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is something they're doing on the slopes, just starting to name them after the peeps. Well, look, I don't know about the bun run, but I know Matty deserves his. And
absolute.
He is going to join us on the show next to tell us more about it, because it's also supporting a lot of the up-and-comers as well who are going to be hitting that slope, so helping out the future generations.
Get up with Gawndy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Just gone 8:51 here at CFM with Gawndy and Ash. Can we say good morning to Matty Graham from Narara?
Matty Graham.
Hey, guys. Morning.
Hello, mate. Silver medalist, 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympics, for anyone that doesn't know, but everyone on the coast knows, because there was a time. Now, we are going to talk about this slope being renamed after you, but Central Coast Stadium also did something similar for a game, didn't they, Matty, for you, after you won?
Yeah, the Central Coast Mariners, renamed the Central Coast Stadium after me, back to, I guess, its original name, Graham Park, for a weekend for one of their matches, which is pretty awesome, which I was able to attend to. So, yeah, it's been a few honours and privileges to come with the silver medal.
That was temporary, though, and this one's more permanent. So tell us about the one at Perisher, the slope named after yourself. It's pretty cool. I mean, that's the ultimate, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's, an extreme honour, and Perisher's, this is where I grew up skiing, and basically, the run they named after me is like a little mogul kind of training facility that, you know, it's where I learned to ski bumps, and it's where all the kids currently learn to ski and learn to compete. So, yeah, it's pretty special, and it's an extreme honour. So, yeah, I guess it's something that'll be there for life, which would be pretty cool.
So you've won a medal at the Olympics. You now have a run named after you. What more do you want, mate? Like, come on, you're an overachiever.
well, I only got a silver medal, so a gold medal is nice, but
a medal is a medal.
Yes. That's one more silver than Ash and I've got, so it's an amazing achievement.
No, it's, there's a lot that's going to come with it, and, it's all been pretty fun, and, currently just sitting out the top of a mountain at Perisher today, so it's pretty glorious.
Tough life.
Sunny day.
Tough life.
Gig for Matty, I tell you what. And what's great is that it's helping out the next generation of kids I see here, so that's a big part of it, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's, I guess Perisher's really known for their, their freestyle skiing facilities, and they build world-class mogul courses for us out here, so it's pretty awesome what they've, what they do for our sport, and none of this would have been possible without them. So it's pretty cool, and we definitely have some really good conditions this season, and this month's going to be really exciting.
Well, mate, you need to keep up the hard work, because if you don't, there's a chance that they might absolutely scratch that renaming.
Yeah, I hope not, but I'll try my best.
Matt's don't been, fall short.
Matt's been loitering around the slope just going, hey, see, you see this? This is named after me. I think, has Matt just dropped out there? I think Matty might have dropped out towards the end there. Well done, Matty Graham, is what we'll say. That is an amazing achievement, and representing the Central Coast hard. If you're ever in Perisher, make sure you check out the slope named after Matty Graham.
Get up with Gawndy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Tomorrow, 7:30 on the show for R&B Fridays. We're going to announce the R&B Fridays lineup for live. R&B Fridays live lineup. It's going to be huge.
Something else that's quite huge is this bread gate.
Yes.
I mentioned on Monday that someone had stolen my loaf of bread. I still haven't got to the bottom of it, to be quite honest, and I'm really disappointed in my work colleagues.
Well, look, you did send an office email out to everybody accusing absolutely everybody of stealing the bread, first of all.
I asked if anyone knew where it was.
Yes.
I feel like people know. They know, but they're not telling me.
With a slight tone of
passive aggressive.
Yes. Here's what we will say about the, because we did say we're going to end the show on the bread each day this week until we find out what goes on with this thing. It's the biggest thing to hit the Central Coast where Ash Pollard's bread's gone. We've had a little bit of information come through, and we've done some more investigating, which we will reveal on the show tomorrow with some secret hidden audio to find out who stole the bread, Ash.
What?
Oh, if you're going to tune in for tomorrow's show for anything, it's
You've got secret audio.
Secret audio. And a possible whistleblower amongst us at the radio station. So tune
in
for that.
See, I knew it. Knew someone was guilty.
Get a load of this, though, Pollard. What? You've banged on about your bread for so long now this week. people are starting to send loaves of bread into the radio station.
Oh. What?
We should have started a hashtag, put your bread out for Ash Pollard.
On who sent this? That's lovely.
Look at this. Look at this nice bread. Get a load of that.
Oh, that is Bells. Bells by Kilcare.
Bells by Kilcare. Shane has sent that in.
Oh, Shane, you beautiful thing. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's some
good bakery bread.
That smells delicious. So thank you to Shane for dropping off that bread here. Now, problem. Obviously, you're in Melbourne right now for a charity event tonight.
I'll give that to you.
Oh, okay.
You and Gia can share that.
Thank you.
With the promo department, but nobody else gets any.
Who was that guy in the Bible that gave bread to people? And who
Jesus.
Was that? Oh, that was... Shows how religious I am. Thank you.
Jesus broke the bread with his people.
As I hold this loaf presented to you, Ash, I say thank you for feeding us.
You're welcome. And you're most welcome to share it with the rest of the office if they would like to fess up to knowing about where the Sonoma Bakery bread went to, or if in fact they ate it.
We are one step closer to finding the culprit. All will be revealed.
It's all right, mate. Calm down.
Tomorrow on the show, to be honest with you, it's ticked over 9 o'clock and my brain switches off after that time. So it's like, my brain's out. My brain's already at home on the couch.
Right, well, that's the bread gate for a Thursday.
Have a good one. We'll catch you for R&B Fridays with that huge announcement on the lineup at 7:30. Good luck with the charity event tonight on Channel 9,
Ash. Thanks so much. Tune in, mate, if you want. 8:30, Channel 9.
I'll donate some money, but other than that, pretty busy tonight. Got some stuff on. We'll catch you tomorrow from 5 here at CFM.
Bye.
On your mate.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.